You're listening to littlepodcast.com.
Hello, and welcome to the Famicom Dojo podcast. We're bringing this podcast direct to you.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Aren't they all like that?
I don't know, though. It just feels so empty, though, now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you saw the direct, right?
I did.
They mentioned, of course, that Mr. Iwata has, this is the first one since he's passed away. And they tried to say, we'll still bring the stuff direct to you. But it was clear their hearts weren't in it,
Mm-hmm.
And probably that phrase is going to be retired now. I really think so. Because I think it was only Reggie who did it. And the gesture was kind of, only half done. So I think from now on, the direct is going to take, slightly different form. But I guess that's okay. The info was still coming in direct, and it was not too bad. It was not too bad. I think my expectations have gotten lower and lower and lower, so I wasn't super disappointed. But the hype was real before. Internet message boards were going crazy because Minecraft got rated by PEGI, the British European rating board. Minecraft for Wii was listed. And a lot of people thought that was going to be the big announcement. Like, that was the announcement large enough that a direct should happen. And I think a lot of people were looking forward to it. And then I was doubly disappointed because... the direct happened while I was sleeping, so I watched it a little bit later. I couldn't watch it live, because in Japan it was like 6 in the morning. So...
That's weird. Why would they do that?
Because it was probably definitely more focused for the American audience.
Okay, but I mean, they had their own, so...
Yeah, they did.
Ah, well.
However, the first... I log on my message boards in the morning, and the announcement I saw was Final Fantasy VII for Wii U, and I'm like,
no,
I don't believe that. Just because I don't believe that, and I think the thing that made me not believe it was they said Wii U. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I'm like, how would that work? A downscaled port of a game not out yet, and Or I was thinking, oh, maybe the PC version got ported to Wii U, in which case I'm still not excited.
Oh.
Well, no, that one was just basically a up-resed version of the original PlayStation one.
But who made a mistake like that? That doesn't, I don't get it.
Like most things, NeoGAF poster who got overly excited. Probably heard the first couple of notes in the Smash reveal, saw the sword and There's this thing on the internet of being the first person to post something. I never really got that necessity. Same with Twitter. Twitter's nuts about that. During any live event, someone will post before like any real information is out. But basically it broke NeoGAF.
Oh, jeez.
Because people went nuts. Because a lot of people can't watch the live stream because they're at work or things like that.
Yeah, it happened while I was at work.
So, when I actually saw what the Final Fantasy VII reveal was in relation to it, I was pretty underwhelmed. Which is sad because probably if I would have watched everything live, there would have been a bigger reaction.
I guess I'm glad I don't read NeoGAF then. I mean, I have an account. I still haven't posted enough to be able to start my own threads.
That's okay. It's I don't know. I like that community quite a bit. But before we get too far into the direct, since this is a Denshi Mail episode, yes, we have some questions. Why don't you give us the first one, Mr. Sean?
Paul Spicknell, who has asked us questions before,
what
are your thoughts on Hyrule Warriors 3DS since now we get Linkle, a female Link?
I thought this question would be coming. Let's start first. Did you play the original Hyrule Warriors?
I did not.
You should. It's good. I mean, it's not Zelda like Zelda, and I haven't put in a lot, but you know, it's an action game. Have you played any of the like Musou games? Let's see, Dynasty Warriors or anything like that?
I think we talked about this in the previous podcast. I'm not entirely sure, but I believe at the time I mentioned that the only game like that I played was the Transformers game on PS2, and I wasn't impressed.
Okay. So. All right. Well, yeah, but yeah, that's not even actually a Musou game, but...
Are you sure? Have you played it?
I have not. But I mean, it's probably like a Musou game, but okay. I don't think it's made by Tecmo Koi. So.
I should probably look that up.
But I mean, it's probably around the same thing as like a Gundam Musou or something.
Sure.
If you like that type of game, you'd really like Hyrule Warriors. If you don't like that kind of game, but you really like Zelda, you'd probably still get enough out of Hyrule Warriors. Mm-hmm. But if you like both of those things, it's fantastic. I never bought any of the DLC, but I like the game. And one of my friends has bought a lot of the DLC and says it basically doubles the game length.
Wow.
And there's a lot of cool stuff. When I heard the announcement of the 3DS version, I think my reaction is negative, actually.
Well, I mean, you knew it was coming because
it's been announced already in a previous Direct. And my reaction at the time was, why? Because it doesn't look as good. But it has a lot of new... I felt the same way about Xenoblade Chronicles for the 3DS a little bit. You know, I'm like, that's good. I'd rather have my console games on a console, personally.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I guess... And I mean, I felt the same way about Smash Brothers for the 3DS as well, you know? It's like, I get it. You sell more games than the 3DS, but... I don't know. Some games I just feel are console games, and much like, so when they announced exclusive characters for this game, it felt to me as if how would you feel if they announced exclusive characters for just the 3DS version of Smash?
Oh, well, I mean, I have complicated feelings about the whole DLC scheme they have going between 3DS and Wii U for Smash anyway.
What is the scheme? I don't buy DLC, so.
Okay, so you can buy...
You buy one, you get the other, right?
No.
No?
No.
Oh.
No, if you buy one, you have the opportunity at that moment to buy it for the other at like a dollar off. Or something. It's not very much. And...
It's not wonderful at all.
No, it's not wonderful at all. And it's like, well... I don't really play either versions of these games, at least not on my console, so I have no incentive to partake in this. I mean, I should probably... If I were to buy it for anything, I might buy it for my 3DS, but, you know, be that as it may, there are a lot of stages and characters out for that game now, and there is just no chance that I would buy the whole stable of those for just one version of this game, let alone both. I mean, that's like well more than what it costs to get the game itself.
Now I know that you can play against a character that you don't personally own in a multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I think so. At least I think so.
The updates allow you to do that, so the information is on the characters in the game, but like...
But what about the stages? Like the new levels?
I don't know how that works. I just know, like, in other games, other fighting games, that's how it works, is that the service packs. Although in the Soul Calibur, weirdly, like, if there were costumes that you didn't own on yours, then, like, you would see someone, if they used a bunch of pieces that you didn't have in your game, that looked apparently mostly naked when you fought them. It was kind of silly.
Well, that sounds like Soul Calibur.
Right.
Because most of the costumes you unlock makes them look almost naked anyway, so. But, okay, so, sometimes, like, I don't know, when there's really big DLC packs, I really feel like it kind of splits the base.
Sure.
Because, like, map packs and things like that, all right, some people can play this and some people can't. I just don't like DLC. I mean, that's where it all comes down to. But to address this question specifically, Linkle, bring on Linkle. The name's pretty dumb.
Yeah.
But bring on Linkle. Bring on Linkle. Bring on Femlink.
I saw a Nintendo fangirl post on Twitter that she wasn't new, like it's her first time in the game, but I guess there was some concept art that I'm trying to look at to figure out where it's from. It's some Japanese art book. I just don't know.
Oh, I'm sure.
Which one I'm it sure. is. But it was unused concept art for something. And she didn't really elaborate other than it was unused concept art. So
next, they really need to make Metroid a girl. I'm sorry. Anyway, but no, it's great. And I think, like, that's why I'm disappointed that they're not putting it in the Wii U version, which I have. Because, like, if that was an option, my daughter's not old enough to play Hyrule Warriors right now. I think it's too violent, personally. It's, you know, it's a hack and slash. I mean, it's a bloodless hack and slash, pretty much, but still, it's, you know, but when she's older, she'd want to be Linkle.
Sure.
Or, because she really likes, you know, she really likes, like, my daughter and I watched the Nintendo Direct together, actually. And she saw the Twilight Princess trailer, which she really liked. She thought that was really cool. Because the only Zelda she'd seen before this is Link to the Past, which she thought was pretty cool. And she saw, what is it? Wind Waker, which she really liked because it looked like a cartoon. But she saw this and she's like, wow, so real, you know.
Right.
And then she saw Princess Zelda and she's like, I want to be her. And I'm like, well,
yeah,
nope.
Yeah.
You know, because, and I mean, that was the same feeling she had during Twilight Princess. She's like, we got to go rescue a sister. And then I'm going to be her.
But you mean Wind Waker?
Yeah. Wind Waker. Sorry. And I was just like, because now I'm let me back it up a second. I'm not trying to say that, like, there always needs to be a playable female character. I understand that some things are very, very story based, you know, and there it's important to tell the original story as the creators intend. But for a game like Hyrule Warriors, where there's already other female protagonists, you know, I don't, you know, that's,
you don't need a female Link.
You don't need, that's true. You don't need a female Link, but it's nice to have the option. And for Wind Waker, I totally think that it could have been, you know, I think there could have been a female protagonist there. And frankly, I know a lot of people have done this, that they just say, it is a girl, you know, because it's a little kid with a high voice. So, you know, and I know there's a ROM hack out there that just changes the he's to she's.
Mm.
And, you know, the game doesn't suffer in any noticeable way.
Yeah, I also saw something on Facebook about Link is trans confirmed, and like this is like a progression of prettier and prettier Links from more recent games, and then ending with Linkle, it's like, okay, yeah.
but like, the thing is with my Zelda games, especially games like Wind Waker and stuff like that, I you know, sexuality doesn't figure into it because that's not ever what it's about. You know, maybe with one of the more mature stories. But that's why I was so disappointed with Triforce Heroes. That's the game Linkle should have been in.
Oh.
Because there's no need for just different color male Links. You know?
Right. Right. Well, I mean, that was from Four Swords originally.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, originally that was from Minish Cap.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to play it. And going by sales, no one else is either. Yeah, it's really doing it, the worst selling Zelda game ever.
Minish Cap?
No. Triforce Heroes.
Well, it just came out.
Yeah. It had a terrible launch.
Okay.
Japan, lowest Zelda launch ever. It's in week two now. And America didn't make a, you know, nothing noticeable. But are you going to buy it?
No.
No, that's the thing. Like, even Zelda fans are just like, didn't ask for this. Don't really want it.
I mean, you know, I liked Four Swords enough, but the only reason I ever played it was because, you know, Phil would have these parties, and he would, have enough copies for everyone.
Yeah.
So if
I was still a college student, I think I'd buy it.
I was a college student. I didn't buy it, so there you go.
I liked Four Swords, though. I did enjoy Four Swords.
I'm bummed out now. Like, I feel like this was a huge downer, because I was going to be all excited about Twilight Princess, and then you just threw cold water all over it.
What? What's wrong with Twilight Princess?
Nothing. You just went out right off the bat, like, what was wrong with it? And I was just like, oh.
I mean, first, narrative-based game, you know, I think that's okay. But that's the thing. I don't think we should change the story of an older game, but I think newer games should have more options.
Sure. I mean, it wouldn't hurt for Zelda to actually star in the game that is named after her someday. I mean, you know,
she did.
Someday that counts.
Something that counts. But like in future games, yeah, I would like to see The Legend of Zelda. that would be awesome. That would be awesome. I really like games that can be played from two different perspectives that give two different ideas on the same story. We'll talk about that more with Fire Emblem.
Sure.
But I would love to see a story where like you get to see the other side of what's going on. And I think, you know, and Zelda as a character has improved a lot more to just being kidnapped all the time, you know, but there's still a ways.
Still a bit player in her own series.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. That's enough about that. Cause like I'm not one of the people who needs to shoe in female characters. It's just when an opportunity is so obvious to present itself, like Hyrule Warriors. I think it's good that they do it. Okay, let's move on to the next question.
All right. You want to read this one? Just because I don't want to try to pronounce the name, it's your turn.
Jerk. Just a second. All right. SB writes in, I'm sure you'll talk about this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Haha. What do you guys think about Cloud being in Smash? Do you think it opens up the possibility to see Final Fantasy VII Remake on the NX in the future? Great question.
I mean, we already kind of covered it.
No. Only a little bit. Do I think it opens up the possibility to see a Final Fantasy remake on the NX? I think it more opens the door. But like, I think the possibility was already there before this announcement. Because, you know, when Square had their Dragon Quest event and announced that they were considering ports for some of their Dragon Quest games, mm-hmm. and I mean there is also the thought flying around that Final Fantasy 14 A Realm Reborn would be ported, and it would make sense to, you know, it, as long as the architecture is modern, that's money left on the table if they don't put that on there.
That's a subscription-based.
What?
Well, I'm thinking back to Injustice and how I think the Wii U sales accounted for like 1% of all sales.
Well,
for that
title.
But
that's a Western game. But like,
okay.
But like, this is a subscription-based, RPG. And Dragon Quest 11, that's sort of Dragon Quest 10, that's the online one, right? Yeah, Dragon Quest 10 in Japan has a very active base and lots of subscribers still on the Wii or on the Wii U.
Okay.
And, you know, if the game's already done and the hardware is has modern architecture, like, in Japan, it makes way more sense to port it to the Wii U than, say, the Xbox One.
True.
You know, the user, and if the NX comes out, you know, comes out of the gate running, which we're all hoping it does, it would make total sense. However, with Final Fantasy VII, I think the biggest possible problem there is it looks like Sony is involved in some way, because it says, sure, you know, during that trailer, it said coming to PlayStation 4. And, you know, it was like coming first to PlayStation 4. And, you know, there'll probably be a PC port down the line. But how exclusive is their exclusivity? Is it timed? Probably. So, you know, I think there definitely exists the chance that it'll be that considering the NX is powerful enough, which if it's not, I'm very sad. I think the possibility is there. And it is possible that Square is trying to send a message here, like, okay, let's get people excited for Final Fantasy VII. But then again, I mean, you know, Snake was in Smash Brothers, and they never put another Smash, you know, I mean, another Metal Gear on a console.
And they'll possibly never make one again, despite, I believe, Konami saying that they're totally going to make one. We'll see if it actually happens.
I mean, Twin Snakes was on the GameCube, and there was a port of Snake Eater, like Metal Gear 3. And, of course, there was the side mission, Ghost Babel, for the Game Boy. I mean, Metal Gear has been on, obviously, Nintendo platforms, but a lot of people, when they saw that, went, oh, next Metal Gear Solid's going to be Nintendo, and it went into nothing. So here's my guess of what's going to happen now that Cloud is in Smash Brothers. I think they're going to make Final Fantasy VII for the Nintendo NX, but it's going to be a rail shooter.
Ugh. Boo.
Or maybe Mario versus Cloud at the Tokyo Olympic Games.
Oh, God, that's even worse.
You know what I mean? It's like whenever it's like, wow, oh man, Sonic's gonna be, you know, Sonic and Mario are gonna be in a game together, and it's the Olympics, okay? Or, oh, new Resident Evil game for Nintendo platform, and it's a rail shooter. You know, it's yeah. New Final Fantasy game, Crystal Chronicles, requires Game Boys. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that whole thing. I didn't hate that game, though.
That was not a bad game. It was a very fun game. Unfortunately, I only ever got to play it how it's intended to be played, you know, with lots of players and lots of link cables, like once at the tail end of college. And I brought with me, I brought that game, I brought my GameCube, I brought a couple of Game Boys with the thought that I'm sure some of my Japanese friends will want to get together some evening and play this. And then I don't know. that never happened. And it probably never will happen.
Still waiting. Invitations open.
Yeah. If you're going to be in Japan, you've got a Game Boy. But anyway, I don't know. What do you feel about that?
About what?
I don't know. Final Cloud Nintendo. It is weird that this is the first time Cloud has ever been on a Nintendo platform.
That is true. That is true. I mean, I feel fine about it. I mean, sure, we had Snake on Nintendo before.
Yeah.
Mega Man as well, Pac-Man. Who am I thinking of? Who are the other crossover characters? I guess. I mean, it's. I don't know if I'd call it historic, but it was not, I don't want to say unexpected, but it was a pleasant surprise. And it is a character I would think about. It's a game that I liked a lot, and it's one DLC character I might actually pick up.
It's just kind of interesting because for so long, basically, I'd say more so even than Crash Bandicoot or any of the other, or Sackboy or any of the other ones they tried to do, Cloud was almost like a Sony mascot. Despite not being made by Sony, it was, you know, just that idea that, you know, when they first announced, not first announced, but early on in the PlayStation 3 life, they showed that trailer with a Final Fantasy VII remake, and just this idea that Final Fantasy VII universe is kind of synonymous with the PlayStation platform made it so amazing. And at the time I'm like, how did they do that? How did they license that from Sony? And then I'm like, Sony doesn't own that, but in my brain, Sony owns that, you know? So I think that was the biggest thing for me.
Okay. Sure. I guess.
But okay.
I guess I don't have much any more thoughts about that because they didn't really say much. You know, they showed you the whole video, and it looks like every other Smash character introductory video. It seemed neat, cute. I liked it.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Moving on. All right. Go ahead. Go for the next question.
All right. Kenton William. Oh God, is it Rice? Reese? I mean, if it were German, I'd say Rice. Anyway, which upcoming game mentioned in the direct are you guys most excited for? You know what? I probably should have read this question before because we do have a section for that.
That's okay.
We'll get back to that. We'll get back to that. Can I read the next one then?
Sure.
Double it up.
Just as long as I don't have to.
Sure. Nathan Sheiks asks, why is it so cute to watch a woolly Yoshi delicate?
Defecate.
Oh, he did. You didn't spell defecate right. I'm not going to read this question. I'm going to go to Twitter. Do we get... I really should read these first.
Yeah, you really should.
This is one I can handle.
Okay, go for it.
Connor the Dreamer at Seafoam Gaming. Does anyone on Famicom Dojo like Pokemon Mystery Dungeon? If you like the Yee series... you should play the PMD games. Well, I know someone who likes Yeast.
Wait a minute. How is Mystery Dungeon like Yeast? I mean, okay, I have not played any of the Pokemon Mystery Dungeon games. Although I did play I played one of the other Mystery Dungeon series with Chocobos in it. But Yeast is like, then again, I haven't played modern Yeast games either. Like, I haven't played anything beyond 4. So, but, you know, those games are run around, bump into things, good stories, awesome music. But Pokemon Mystery Dungeon, I'm thinking randomly generated dungeons, tons and tons of characters, turn-based combat. I'm trying to think of what the similarity is.
I wouldn't know.
You know what? Twitter commenter? Mr. Dreamer, I'm gonna try it.
All right, you
try
do
one
that.
Of the. I'm gonna try one of those games. I'm gonna try one of those games, and in the comments, people should tell me which of those games I should try because there's a bunch of them.
I mean, speaking of Pokemon, though, I am pleased to see that Red, Blue, Yellow is coming out for Virtual Console, and I presume like what Red, Green, whatever it is in the Japanese side are coming out too.
Yep. It was a yellow, red, green. I think are the ones.
Okay.
Wow, I would totally play a red green game.
Not the same thing.
You could be Harold, or you could be. You could put duct tape on things. You could keep your stick on the ice. Nobody gets this reference. I'll just keep moving on.
We got any
Canadians in the audience?
Speaking of hockey, my oldest is an intro to hockey right now.
Really?
He is, oh, yes. Goodness. Yeah. He can skate better than I can now. Not really.
Wow.
Well, he's getting there. He's getting there.
That's awesome.
I know. He's not... even 4 yet.
Hockey. Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool. getting my daughter into air hockey.
But, see? That seems less dangerous and probably less expensive. Oh, depending on where you go to play.
but isn't your kid like less tall than one of the standard size shin guards?
No, they make stuff in that size.
Wow.
Yeah. All right, off topic. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I haven't really played any Pokemon games since Blue, which is the only one that I own. But this ties into a topic that we'll be talking about, presuming this comes out the weekend of Daishokan.
Yes.
A topic at Daishokan about how your favorite games are dying. And Pokemon Blue and Red are two of them. And Yellow, I guess, so that's three.
Oh, what a tragic topic.
Right? But I'm glad that these games are on a virtual console now because that gives it new life. I mean, your old Pokemon are probably dead and gone forever, but you can start anew with this thing. Although people did ask, I don't think directly, not when we put out the call for questions, but or at least I saw conversations about this, wondering if there'd be any way to port these characters to other Pokemon games. And I'm guessing not, just based on how virtual console stuff typically works. They did mention in the direct that because there's no link cable, that they did allow wireless connections between different copies of the game. But that's something that they typically do, like, you know, with the Zapper games on the Wii U, which now Wild Gunman's out.
Yep.
Right.
I'm guessing that Nintendo could do it if they wanted to, but my guess is they don't care enough to.
No, I don't think so. Yeah, they could make it connect to whatever like a Pokemon storage thing they have now, but I sincerely doubt it.
If they want to, they could, but I just don't think they will.
But it, you know, at the very least, you can play these games again, and because I guess when the batteries die in the Pokemon games, they just don't work at all. From what I've heard.
No, they work.
Well,
I was playing Red the other day with a dead battery. But you can't save anything. So like you'd have to beat the game in one sitting.
Okay.
Like,
good luck.
When you turn it on, you know, you get Professor Oak's like, "Hey, choose a Pokemon." And I'm like, "Okay." I got to go to the bathroom. I'll turn this off. All right. Whoa, choose a Pokemon. Okay.
That's the other thing too, with like a 3DS, you can just close the lid and
it becomes a Pokemon tutorial simulator.
Wah-wah.
I think that's all of our questions.
Yeah.
So let's just quickly talk about the stuff that was in this direct. There was quite a bit of stuff. Not much of it was big announcements, but there was a lot of little stuff. So
yeah.
Okay, Star Fox finally got a new launch date. It of course didn't hit 2015, but
it's
going to be in April of 2016.
April 22nd specifically.
Yes.
For those who want to count the days.
And I don't know, maybe it's rose colored glasses, but it looked a lot better this time.
Did it look that bad the first time?
I don't think it looked that bad, but it looked like there was more going on. Like, it looked a little sparse last time, but it looked like there was a little more going on. Oh, then again, they also showed a cutscene at the beginning, which looked very nice. So, I don't know exactly, but it's nice that it has a date, and I'm glad that they're actually going to make sure it's a good game and not just rushing it out to meet, and it also there's stuff coming in 2016 now, like enough stuff that you know the Wii U is probably on its last legs, but you know it's gonna have a nice 2016, a good final year. You know,
I'm looking forward to this game, and it maybe it's for strange reasons. Like, it can be a clone of Star Fox 64, and I'll love it. And I think the reason why is because of everything that happened in between Star Fox 64 and now. Like, in Star Fox 64 itself was more of a remake of the Super Nintendo game than anything else. It wasn't really a sequel, per se. And, like, you know, looking back on it, knowing more about what I know about the history of that whole development thing, it kind of makes sense why they did just kind of a spruced up remake without the guys who made the Super FX chip because of reasons. And
licensing. Yeah.
Licensing, you know, why Star Fox 2 was canned, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, I followed the development of Dinosaur Planet and was unhappy it turned into a Star Fox game.
Yeah.
There was, what, Star Fox Assault for the, was it the 3DS or DS?
3DS or something. And then there was the weren't there two on the game? Even though there's one more on the GameCube by Namco, I think, that I didn't play.
I don't know.
Star Fox something. Yeah.
So I can see why people are kind of down on Star Fox right now, but it looks perfectly good to me.
The only thing I'm a little worried about is the control scheme, the double thing. But then again, when I saw gyro controls for Splatoon, I didn't think that was going to work either, I absolutely love it. So I'm willing to give it a shot.
Because it's a shooter.
Here's something interesting. Yes. I was talking with a student, who's about 13 years old, and we were talking about video games, and we were talking about Star Fox and the new Star Fox. We watched a YouTube clip of the first game, like the opening stage of the first game, and then this trailer, and I'm just like, wow, technology. like it's gone from there to there. Now, even though a lot of people are down on this game for like not looking that great, just to see difference. I think it looks fine. You know, it's not trying to be Halo. I don't, you know, but you know, but I was just thinking to myself, I'm like, what is it going to be? You know, 20 years from now, it's like, because I remember the original Star Fox to me looking mind blowing. So
right, and now it's just like, oh boy, looks better than those VR helmet like CGA graphics, whatever things I was looking at it around the time, you know.
Yeah, so I don't know. I still think for a cart game on a 16-bit platform, the original Star Fox is pretty impressive. And I thought Star Fox 64, like, I can't even believe that I and my friends were so addicted to the multiplayer, because it seems so bare bones now. But man, that was fun at the time.
I played it a lot. Even at the time, I didn't feel like it was that revolutionary, but it was fun, and it was Star Fox, so.
Yeah, it was. So, okay, let's go to the next one.
Sure.
Go ahead.
The Super Mario Maker web portal.
Ah,
it's a nice little thing.
It is. I think it's great. Good job, Nintendo. Well done. Let's give you your props there. But why does it have to be on the web? What would have been nicer if they released a more robust search on the game itself and the web portal.
Yeah, I mean, this exists because the interface on the game is just terrible.
Yeah,
I mean, try like finding a level. The whole process just stinks. So you get the code for a level that gets you a portal into like the whole creator's thing. But like if you move away from the game you've linked to and like try and just follow the person, then you can't. Maybe there's a back button I've missed before, but it seems like whenever I've tried this, you can't get back to the actual level you originally logged in as. So you got to play the level first and then finish it or bomb out. And then if you want to find it later, you have to search for it in your starred ones if you started it, or the play ones if you played it, and go to your profile to find it. Or you have to go to the creators section.
Yeah, and it's just. And like, if you search, all you can do is type in numbers or whatever. But I would like to search by title of level,
right?
Because you hear about, because that would be a really easy way to share a level. You know, hey, I played this great Rickroll level.
So, right, but no, you got those and those. You know those numbers like have like six zeros or so that are always there. It's like they don't even matter.
I don't know, but it's a step in the right direction, but. It feels more like a band-aid than, you know, the actual cure we need for this problem.
But it exists, and that helps. So the it fact that they've help. Done something is, wow, my standards are low.
Nintendo, thank you for doing something.
All right. What's your next one?
I'm gonna talk about a game that Nintendo released that they've done right and continue to be doing right. Splatoon.
Yeah.
Brand new content for Splatoon. Some really cool looking new levels which have transforming conditions. Very cool. And they're like, and it's free. And it's out now. Go for it. And I'm like, yay. Thank you very much, Nintendo. Thank you very much. You know, Splatoon is that game that makes me reevaluate how I feel about a lot of stuff. It makes me reevaluate how I feel about DLC, which, you know, just in this very podcast we talked about. But if every game did DLC like Splatoon does DLC, I wouldn't have such a big problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'd still have a problem from an archival perspective, definitely. But this is great. There's constantly new stuff, and it's free, so everybody has it. So it doesn't split up the community.
Right.
Exactly. Nintendo's continued to support this game very well, and I think people are appreciating that. And I wish that they would do that with more of their stuff. I wish more games handled DLC like Splatoon. Now, that's not to say that in the future Nintendo isn't going to release a bunch of paid DLC, but they haven't so far, and so far so good. I'm loving Splatoon. I love Splatoon.
Hmm.
So that was exciting, and the thing is, and I think I would have lost my mind about this new stuff, except at this point with Splatoon, I kind of expect it, you know, because they've been so good with it, you know, it's like more stuff. I'm happy, but you know, it's not mind blowing. Okay, pick one.
Badge Arcade.
Don't care.
Oh God. I can't just not care about this. I have to
All right, go ahead,
say
go
something.
Ahead.
I go mean, ahead. It this seems like the kind of thing you play if you're bored of games and just want to keep up appearances.
Yeah.
It's one of the free to start line, and there are a bunch out there. Like, I immediately thought, because the guide through this game is like a rabbit who works in an arcade. And that reminded me a lot of Rusty's, and sure enough, Rusty's is in the same section on the eShop. Yep. I haven't played any of the other free to start games, but I at least feel like the title is more honest than free to play, because you know, it's obviously they expect you to pay at some point. Although in this specific case, you have to pay. Very, very quickly. And it feels sometimes they give away
tries every day, but but you can't.
It's like the Jackass Facebook game.
You can't play. I don't know.
Okay. Fair enough.
But I mean, yeah, it's there's no game to it that's free.
Right.
It's like
monetizing the whole 3DS Street Pass thing, because like and no one's played those, like there are these games that come with the 3DS, and then you can buy more of them for money.
Yeah.
And the only way to play them is to pass with someone, which, you know, where I live now, never happens. Or you spend coins that you get by walking up to 1,000 steps a day, and you get 100 coins.
Where I live, there's tons of people, but I.
So, like, if you're dependent on the coins entirely to be able to play this stuff, then it seems like that, but real money. And there's even a warning. Like, I downloaded it and played it a bit before we started the podcast.
Oh, did you? Okay.
And this is how my experience went. I had to go through the tutorial, right? Yep. You know, and it's a crane game thing. Like, the whole thing is crane games. It's not even, like, arcade games to play. It's just this one crane game. And you pick up badges. And his badges are like, you know those pins you get? Like, they're, like, kind of gold and...
Yep.
Not serrated, but like there's like this pattern, like squarish pattern in the back, and you like stick them.
Yep.
They're kind of neat. Actually, they remind me of those Weebelos pins that you used to get, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
If anyone knows what I'm talking about there. But you pick those up with the crane game and you drop them off and you get 5 tries when you first download the game. And I got 4 pins, but that's because they set this game up in such a way that you basically can't not get at least one of them just by like knocking the crane into something. And so only 2 out of my 3 tries netted me anything. I got 3 on my first try, and then frustratingly, like an actual crane game, was unable to pick up the last item because of the way it tried to pick up something at a bad angle or tried to pick up more than one at once, and then they both fall off.
That's realistic.
And I'm just like, why would they pick the least fun thing about an arcade and simulate it so well that makes me just want to throw the whole thing away in disgust?
But the thing that gets me is, okay, you win a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
And like, the thing is, it's a game that I can't see myself paying money for, but it's at the same time, it's also a game I can't see myself playing if it was 100% free.
Right. Right.
Because I just don't care at all to get these pins to decorate my home screen. Why do I have to decorate my home screen? Isn't that your job, Nintendo?
Right, right. Like, why am I paying them for this privilege? Like, I was talking to Phil Bonner, like, mentioned it to me first, and I had never heard of it before he brought it up. And he liked it for the simple reason that he could decorate, like, his folders and stuff, because otherwise they're just kind of, well, not nameless, but they just use, like, the initials of whatever the actual name of the folder is, and this helps to distinguish them. Yep. But I don't think he mentioned if he paid any money for this or not, so he might be dependent entirely on free plays. But it's like, I can't stand it. I cannot stand it. I guess someone on Reddit did get everything in the game and paid for, you get 5 plays per dollar, by the way.
Yeah.
And it was so prohibitively expensive. It's just like, this is like the anti-Rusty's. Like, Rusty's was fun. It still is fun. I still haven't paid for everything, but there's like a ceiling on how much you can spend on Rusty's.
Yep.
Which is good for the gamer, but bad for the game developer, I guess. God, I would sooner spend money on Candy Crush, which I've never spent money on, than I would to spend a dollar on this game.
I would sooner buy a bunch of Amiibos, because it's basically the same thing.
Yeah, except an Amiibo you can actually look at and it's pretty and...
And you can trade them. And like, that's another thing. These things, other than decorating your home screen, which I just don't get it.
They're not real. Like, I don't like digital collectibles.
No.
There's no.
And the thing is, even.
That's why I don't play Pokemon, I guess.
It's the same thing with like Sony selling avatars from their games for like 45 cents each. It's not a lot of money, but like, you are making me pay money to advertise your game. I just don't get it.
Right.
I just don't get it, you know. And the thing is, I realize that I don't get things because, you know what? Those are popular too, and people are very excited about them.
Mm-hmm.
And this game probably will make Nintendo more money than Wonderful 101.
That's so sad.
Which makes my heart sad. But anyway,
what's next on your list?
Well, let's go with another free to start game. Pokemon Picross, which seems to be a little more fair because Picross is awesome. It doesn't matter what type of Picross it is. Picross is awesome because Picross is awesome. However, I don't really care for Pokemon.
Nice.
We've talked at length about my experiences with Pokemon. I don't dislike it. I just have a burning ambivalence. Ambivalence is the wrong word. I have a burning indifference to it.
Yes.
I wish it was just a regular Picross game, which I think would be a very good free to play. And you know what? I might put in some money for some of the puzzles because, you know, I buy books of Picross puzzles. And I'll only ever complete them once. That seems like a consumable that would be reasonable to me. But since it's based on collecting Pokemon, and I guess there's some RPG elements that I just, I don't know. I'm not super excited, but I'll probably try that one. All right, your turn.
I just have one more, and it's that Final Fantasy Explorers thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't really care to play it myself, but I liked the idea that it's coming over to the U.S. with all the DLC for free, yeah. quote unquote.
Yep, that, there.
That got yeah. my attention.
Yep. I support things like that. I'm not too excited about the game, and it kind of got kind of lukewarm reception here in Japan. But props to Nintendo for releasing versions with all the DLC on it. And I that is something I will support. And in fact, you know, I'll tell you what, Nintendo. I bought Super Smash Brothers, you know, for Wii U and for 3DS. And, you know, they were $60 and $50 each or whatever they were. But if 2 years down the line, you want to sell me once again Smash Brothers Wii U for $60 that has all the DLC in it, you know, a Game of the Year edition, I'll buy it again.
Right, that's how most companies
but
do
I'm
it.
But I'm probably not going to buy the DLC. Unless they announce that Bomberman is coming to it or something, or what other character would get me? Anyone from Shenmue?
Oh man, the forklift.
Peter Pepper from Burger Time would do it. But yeah. Otherwise, even things like Cloud, probably not going.
Oh man,
it's just I don't know. The whole idea of paying for impermanent things is still tricky for me.
Right.
So we'll see. I'm surprised you didn't want to talk about the Mega Man collection.
I do. Later.
Oh, later. Oh, sorry. All right. Well, then I'll talk about I'm going to talk about another one where they do DLC right. Or maybe okay. wrong. I don't know. I was kind of upset that they split the Fire Emblem Fates in the first place into two different campaigns. But they're different enough. They're not just maps played from the opposing side. You know, one you're the good guys, one you're the bad guys, or maybe it's more complicated than that. But, you know, they're two rival factions. And I guess the stories really are different enough that past the first couple chapters, they diverge enough where they really are two full games. But what annoyed me was, you know, the pricing scheme was buy one of the two games, you can download the other one for half price, and then later you can pay another unknown amount of money to download one that's not on a cartridge at all, but only exists as a DLC.
Right.
And I was pretty much decided that despite my love of the Fire Emblem series as of recent, I've only played two games in Fire Emblem, but I've loved them both. I was going to probably skip it. But then they released what must have been the bundle for Vink, which includes all three of them with a nice little, you know, physical edition and a slipcase and nothing to download. This bundle, it's like $80, but you know, that's about the price of all that together. And I actually own it.
See, and this is just proof positive that Nintendo listens to yep. our podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, so that's what I'm going for. I will buy that. So whereas it's a game I probably wouldn't have bought otherwise. So good on Nintendo for that. So yeah.
All right. Should we go back to one of our other questions, quote unquote, and do our sure. best in show?
Let's do it.
All right. All right. Tease it long enough. I wanted to talk about Twilight Princess HD.
All right.
That's
your best in show?
Oh, man. Well,
the HD remake?
Listen.
All right. I'm listening.
This is why I'm excited about it. I have a very good reason. Link is left-handed.
Good night, folks.
No. You know the story, right?
I know, because right. when the Wii version came out, they had to make him right-handed because most people would be playing right-handed.
It wasn't just that they made him right-handed. They mirrored the entire universe, like the entire game. Well, I guess in some of the cutscenes. Actually, I'm not sure. No. The cutscenes were mirrored, too. Because I've seen some side-by-side videos now where they were like showing the upgraded HD footage. And then the Game Explain one actually had some on-screen text or other icons that were flipped. And it's like, oh, definitely, definitely different. And I've been feeling bad because I haven't played this game since it came out in 2006. Uh-huh. So it's been 9 years now, almost exactly. And I was thinking, like, why haven't I played this game? I'm pretty sure I liked it. It's been longer since I played Majora's Mask, and that's definitely one of my favorites. And I'm playing through that now, right now on 3DS. But it's like, why wasn't I going to play this game? Then I remembered that I wanted to play it again on GameCube. And that became not prohibitively expensive, but expensive enough where I had other things to put my money on.
Rare,
I was expecting at the time that, well, in a few years it'll be on clearance or something and I'll just pick it up, and that never happened. Like the clearance never happened.
Have you not figured out Nintendo games by now?
Well, they really, in the interim I have figured this out, but like I looked for a used copy about a year or two ago and it was like $50, and that's reasonable. But the fact that this appears to be a port of the GameCube game is what's getting me right now. Because for those who also don't know, this little tidbit, if you overlay the map of the GameCube non-flipped version of Twilight Princess, it goes right over Ocarina of Time very nicely.
Really?
So it does. So that's why it was very distracting to play the Wii version, which is the only one that I had. Because everything was wrong. Like, Kakariko Village is in the same place, for instance. I think the Zora's Domain is in the same place. Like I liked the game, but I was frustrated enough by that fact that it took me out of it a bit. And so I was like, all right, I will play this game again on the GameCube, thinking, maybe in a few months or something, like, right.
Yeah.
Like, or a year or two, not like a decade later. So I'm excited about that, although there's some questions now I have about what the control scheme is going to be, because it appeared from the video that game pad controls with the directional pad on the left and the face buttons on the right. The face buttons taking place at the directional pad in the Wii version. So that's kind of like a question, right? Like, are they just straight upgrading the GameCube version, or are they going to work in the Wii controls as well? Is there like a control option for that? I would hope that they would do that, that they would have the option, but I won't cry if they don't have it, because I didn't hate the controls, but I feel like Skyward Sword did it a lot better. And if I had to go back to that, I might get a little twitchy.
Yeah, I never understand what Nintendo's going to do, because, like, especially with things like control schemes, because Mario Tennis that's coming out, you'd think that one would support Wii remote controls, right?
Wait, like it doesn't?
Controls? No. At least as far as I know, it does not.
How do you play this game for players without
controller held to the side? Something.
The pro pads? Oh, I see what you're saying. Oh, well.
I don't know. I've never played one of the Mario Tennis series, so I don't know.
People swinging their remotes around might get a little hairy.
Yep.
Although that happened with Wii Sports,
the
right?
Best-selling Wii game. Yeah.
Right. I don't know.
And I also don't understand how like Nintendo completely botched Wii Sports Club.
Oh.
You have the best-selling game ever, basically, other than Mario Brothers. Best-selling game ever.
Wow.
And then the sequel also sold very, very, very well. Almost 20 million copies or something like that. And then you release this one and it sells dozens of copies.
Yeah, and
first they released it as just downloadable content only. pay by the sport you want to play.
Right, and that was like...
And then they released it as a pack, but it was too late. Nobody cared at that
point. I didn't even know that it happened, that they had released the whole thing.
Well, they did in Japan. Maybe they didn't even in the States. I don't actually...
If they did, they sure didn't advertise it.
But it's just like, that should have been your pack-in.
Right.
I love Nintendo Land. I'm a big proponent of Nintendo Land. My daughter loves it too. It's a game we play quite a bit. But it's not... It probably should not have been the pack-in. I'll tell you what should have been the pack-in.
Mm.
Wii Sports Resort and Mario Maker. I know they weren't done. I mean, you know, a Wii Sports game and a Mario Maker game at launch for that thing, right, that would have flown off the shelves.
Jeez. Oh, anyway, we should really talk about Mario Maker sometime on the podcast. Not today.
We should. Yeah, we will.
All right. What's your best in show then?
I'm most excited about Fire Emblem's Fates for newly released stuff, but actually what I'm most excited about right now is still Xenoblade. And I mean, we didn't really get any new information, but I'm going to start the preload later today. I've already ordered the special edition.
Nice.
That comes with the USB stick with the soundtrack and stuff. I'm very excited for that game. It's sad because the hype has gone away from it for a lot of places. And I think that's because it came out so long ago in Japan, like 6 months ago at this point. And there was one like Kotaku reviewer who really hated it, who called it like a very boring game. And somehow that is translated in the game's media to Japan didn't like this game, but that's not true at all. It got very good reviews in Japan and very good word of mouth and sold nearly as well as the first game, despite way lower install base, you know?
Wow.
It was received very well, but just because that was one of the only reviews written in English,
right?
It dulled a lot of the hype, but I'm still very hyped for it. You haven't played any of the Xenoblade series yet.
I have not. Like the one copy I picked up for the Wii for you went to you.
Yep. What I'm really hoping, is that shortly before the release, they make it a Wii U Classic series.
Oh boy. Yeah.
But I really don't. It's already there in Europe.
Okay.
It's like $20, you know? And I think there's two options in my mind for why it's not there right now. Number one, and this is the good option in my mind, is they're waiting closer to launch. But I think that's not a great idea because it's a very long game. They should let people play it now so they beat it by the time. But the option two is the scarier one, is that maybe whatever GameStop had with exclusivity prevents them from releasing it on the eShop.
I don't want to think about that.
Because that would be tragic, because the copies are going so expensive right now, and it's a great game and everyone should play it.
Ugh.
So I'm excited about that, and I'm excited about one that wasn't featured in your direct.
Mine. This is your honorable mention?
Yes. Mother 3 is headed to the Wii U Virtual Console in Japan.
Wow.
For cheap. Like 650 yen, that's like $6. Like it's really cheap. And the thing is, I know that for a long time it was in, I don't know what the licensing was. I mean, I don't know whether it was music or references or something, but there was something that was keeping it from being released for a while. So whatever that is, it's cleared up now. And hopefully, who am I kidding? Nintendo's going to drag their feet on this one for years. Hopefully, it'll be an NX game. It does break down one more of the barriers for releasing it. And I mean, the main thing is like, the first Mother was able to be released as Earthbound Zero because Nintendo had already done a translation. It was just a matter of putting it up there. you know, Earthbound got released once they cleared up the licensing issues. So this game has both, but the licensing issues seem to be cleared up now. Now it's just a matter of whether they're going to translate. And I know the translation that's out there, the writers have offered it free to Nintendo, but I just don't see Nintendo taking that.
Yeah, well, I know if they keep firing people from the for going into podcasts talking about things to do the translate, never mind.
Oh yeah, kind of forgot about that guy.
I didn't forget about that guy because he wrote something about Linkle that he was writing stuff for her, and that was one of his favorite ones to work on before he was canned. So. Yep. All right. Well, my honorable mention is you brought it up before. Thanks.
Yeah. Sorry.
The Mega Man Legacy Collection.
All right.
Which, I mean, I'm sorry I've mentioned two, I don't know, one's a remake and one's a re-release. I do like new games, just not really any of the ones that they were talking about. Yeah, I mean, having six Mega Man games seems pretty awesome. Although, aren't some of them available on 3DS Virtual Console? Or am I thinking of the Game Boy ones?
I think they're all available on the Wii U Virtual Console, which maybe gives some idea to... Like, the main question people are asking is, okay, so the Mega Man Legacy Collection is on the 3DS and the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One and like everything except the Wii U.
Right.
Maybe it's that Capcom figured they could have more money get more money selling them game by game. But yeah, it seems so weird that these console games are not being released for the console. But
yeah, they made a lot about like the exclusive content hidden behind the Mega Man amiibo, which I don't even want to get into how I feel about that. At least not this podcast.
But my thought is this is a worse collection than the GameCube collection.
You think so?
So I don't. Yeah. What's better?
The button layout.
Okay, I'll give you the button layout. I'll give you the button. Okay. Other than the button layout, I mean, content-wise,
the challenge mode seems interesting. It's like NES Remix for Mega Man.
But like I don't know exactly how much you know content their museum thing is going to have or whatever. But
nah, museum.
I don't know. But like the Mega Man collection I have has games 1 through 8. You know. The button layout is dumb, but But like content-wise, you're getting a lot more bang for your buck there, and that was released like 10 years ago. So this really seems like a bare bones Capcom doesn't really care collection to me.
Ah,
sorry.
Fine.
I've got the original carts. So that's what I'm gonna play. So.
Right. I have most of them. Getting Mega Man 5 is not easy now, but I have it on Virtual Console.
Which Mega Man did I send you? Was it 3?
No, you sent me. You sent me 5.
Send you 5?
You sent me 5 for Famicom.
Yeah.
Which is in Japanese.
Oh no! You won't be able to go into the deep, deep lore.
Aye.
Let me summarize it for you. Dr. Wily has built some robots. You should probably destroy them. Also, there are characters.
Right.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Okay, I mean, that's all I got. I mean, it was, you know, I'm happy for Nintendo in a way, but I'm kind of sad. Yeah. And it's like, until they do talk about the NX, because there was even a thing on their website that said, you know, notice there will be no announcements about the NX as part of this direct. And I'm like, well, I'm not even going to watch then, you know, not, but like yeah. I wasn't going to, but the people who were just like, forget it. I'm sure.
Maybe. I don't know. Wii U is my favorite Nintendo platform since the Super Nintendo. It still is. Oh, yeah. I love the Wii U. I I think that the number, the quantity of games has been low, but the quality, I think Nintendo first party has never done better. And I think the partnerships they made with third parties for exclusives were also fantastic. They all seem to pan out very, very well. I put a picture on my Twitter earlier, which was actually missing a number of games, but of like, I think I had like 24 or so game cases up there. And that's not counting the ones that I have digitally and the ones that I didn't have for that photo. But I've got at least 30 like full, you know, full games. And it's one of my best collections. I really feel that, I mean, it's sad that more third-party games didn't come out, but I would say, like, it also cut the crap, you know? Boy. Like, there's not much shovelware on the system. There's not much, pretty much you could, I'd say you could pull 5 games random, blindfolded off the shelf from the Wii U section, and probably 4 of them would be quite good games.
Sure.
Mind you, there all, only are 5 games on the system, but but I don't know. I feel in many ways that Wii U, for better or worse, is another Dreamcast. By the way, it finally outsold the Dreamcast a few weeks ago.
And you were worried. Was it you who was worried? That? Well, I wasn't worried, so it must have been you.
I knew that. No, I knew that. I mean, I know I was worried that it wouldn't outsell the GameCube, and it won't.
Oh.
But it outsold the Dreamcast, which is, I mean, people go, ha, it outsold a terrible failure. But really, like, when you think about it, the Dreamcast, though, for the whole second half of its lifespan, was a $99 system. And during the tail end, a $50 system, you know.
Sure.
So they've managed to do this much without ever having a major price drop. And GameCube, the same. For most of its lifespan, it was $100.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, Nintendo's obviously not trying to get them in the channel anymore. They know the writing's on the wall, so they're going to continue making the money they can. There's a really nice bundle coming out for Black Friday. Super Smash Brothers and Splatoon.
Yes.
And I don't know how many people are going to jump in because, yeah, dead system and all, but if you don't have a Wii U right now, this will be 10 years from now the bundle that you'll regret not having bought.
Yes, agreed. Although, God, I mean, if the NX really is on the horizon for 2016, then I don't know how I'd feel about buying a Wii U now. Like, if none of this stuff comes over.
I don't think 2016. I really don't.
I hope not, but like 2017, that's pretty much the end of the life cycle still.
Well, no, I mean, I think announcement mid-2016. I mean, like, we'll actually see the specs and then release. Maybe it'll hit Christmas 2016, but I'm thinking more early 2017.
Oh boy,
is when it launches, and I know it might, you know, it probably makes more sense for modern architecture to abandon backwards compatibility in favor of being able to get third-party titles by having, you know, a standard architecture with PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. That makes sense. And maybe it won't even be as powerful as that because we still don't know what the NX is exactly.
Right.
So, you know, it might be a Wii in a small case, you know, but I really hope that they find some way, either as remastered classics or something, that if the NX does take off, that a lot of these Wii games get re-released in some way, because it makes me so sad to think that people are missing out on Mario Maker and Splatoon and even smaller titles like Captain Toad, Donkey Kong, you know, just all of these are fantastic games that nobody played. And that makes me sad because And also, I think that these games are going to be very expensive in the future.
Right.
Just because of the low print runs for all of them.
Yeah, if my example with Twilight Princess and GameCube is any way indicative, wait, people. Yeah, I mean, yeah, the eShop's not going to do you much good if the architecture isn't the same.
Exactly. So, which of these games do you think you're going to buy of the stuff you saw?
Twilight Princess.
You buy Twilight Princess. Is that it?
It's sold already. Yeah, that's it.
I'm going to get Fire Emblem. I'm going to get Dragon Quest VII, Dragon Quest VIII. I'm going to get Mother 3, Nintendo. Let it come. I'm going to wait a little bit on Star Fox. Gonna see. Wait till I see how that how it pans out a little bit more, but leaning towards yes.
Yeah.
All right. Gonna download Cloud.
Maybe.
I like the idea though. I like the idea that Smash Brothers really is becoming that thing that when you were a kid you dreamed of.
Right. Yeah, I just, you know, I'm not a kid anymore. Yeah. Like I really feel like as my kids get older now that like what I buy will be more driven by what they want.
Yep. Oh, definitely.
Especially if their love endures. My now middle child came in before the podcast having trouble sleeping. I had Mario Maker up to try and finish one of Phil's newest levels, and he wanted to watch, and I'm like, buddy, not tonight.
Yeah,
but I was really secretly proud.
Well, yeah, I feel the same way. My kids are total nerds, and I think it's driving my wife crazy because they. You know, they want to see the video games more so than they want to watch the cartoons, you know.
Terrible.
what is it? My daughter beat another game this week.
Yeah.
It's a Barbie game. You know, it's Barbie Dreamhouse something junk. Which kind of goes against my earlier statement that there's no crap on the Wii U.
Oh.
But the thing is she likes it, you know. It's a dress up and blah, blah, blah. And she's not really into the Barbie-ish type of stuff. She doesn't like the television show. She doesn't like the dolls. But when it's a video game, she's into it. Sure. So that's interesting. But, yeah, right. So that puts the list of games she's beat this year up to 6, which is beating out mine by a figure of 2-1. I've beaten 3 games this year.
Yeah.
So
the last game I beat. Oh, I finally finished Dragon Age. Sort of, minus the DLC. Damn you, really? BioWare. Yeah. It's been years since that game came out. Just saying.
Yeah. Yeah, that's okay. I still have a lot of games that have been out for 30 years that I have yet to beat, so.
There you go.
Yep.
More Famicom Friday material is what you're trying to tell me.
Yes. Yes, yes, I shall do some Famicom Fridays. I shall. I have some really good games that I wanna put forward to, and they're actually Famicom games too.
Right? Yeah, I know it's been the complaint, but now that the reruns are all reran, should be fine.
Rerun? Yeah. Okay.
All right. So thanks everyone for listening. And then come back next week where we'll have another new episode.
Two in a row?
I can't even. I don't even. What are we doing with ourselves?
I know.
Ask us that, because we'll answer it in a Denshi mail. What are we doing with ourselves? What has been happening? We'll tell you. We probably would have told you now, but now this direct happens, so we had to do that first.
Yeah.
So all right.
We'll tell you at some point in the future.
But until then, the dojo is...
The dojo is available for a limited time at half off if you've bought the original Dojo. But will be available later on as a Dojo combo pack containing both the Do and the Joe.
Is it the half that was off in the hot tub picture or the other half?
Oh, dear. For those just tuning in right now. No, you know what? You figure it out.
Yeah. Just go back. Just go back in the archive. It'll be fine.
Yeah. Just listen to everything we've done.
FamicomDojo.tv/podcast.
Yep. Zune.
No.
All right. Famicom Dojo.
The Famicom Dojo video game podcast is produced every week by That's Orange LLC. Our music, Famicom Thrash and RPG, is performed by the Amari Tones. Find them on iTunes and amaritones.net. Pixel art by Lewis Lloyd Judson at lewistrations.co.uk. You can find us on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter at Famicom Dojo, our free iTunes storefront, Stitcher Radio, or wherever RSS feeds are downloaded. Visit our show notes, including links, video, and audio bonuses at famicomdojo.tv/podcast. Please consider leaving us a 5-star review on iTunes and sponsor an episode or listen to any of the other great shows on the Little Podcast Network at littlepodcast.com.